You're about to listen to the words and teachings of Pastor Shola Oshimakinde of the household of David. Be blessed.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's always wonderful to come together to worship God, right? Okay, so this morning, let's go on from where we stopped last week. So I'm going to read, let's start from, we read Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, right? And let's read it again. You guys are, you know, God bless you. So wonderful today. I mean, you were something else. Can I have your seats? Hallelujah. The Bible said the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed, they belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The secret things belong to God, but the things that are revealed. So there are secret things and there are things that are revealed. And we read last week also that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, 9, from 9 to 11, that no man knows that the Spirit of God reveals. So the Bible says that what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what hasn't entered into the heart of men, the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed. You know, Christians quote that scripture and they stop there. Say, what God is going to do, eyes have not seen. That is the beauty of Christianity. God has revealed them to us by the Spirit. So if you have the Holy Ghost, you have the ability to know things that eyes have not seen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because the Spirit of God will reveal it to you. So I told them something for service that I will not go into detail. I don't want to discuss because I want to go to something else. In Old Testament, the Spirit of God came upon them. In New Testament, the Spirit of God resides in us. Amen. Amen. So the Bible says in 1 John 2:27 that the anointing that you have received from him abides in you. That was the anointing with which David conquered Goliath. He dealt with Goliath in chapter 7. What he did was not normal. Fear is normal to an average person. But when you are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you don't give in to fear. Say amen. Amen. Are you following me? Yes, sir. So when other soldiers who were taller than David, when they saw Goliath, ran. But when David heard Goliath talking, he was like, who is this fool making empty noise? Because that was in chapter 17 when he saw Goliath. Because in chapter 16, God sent Samuel to their house and Samuel anointed him. And the Bible said the Spirit of God came upon him from that day onward. So it was the effect of the anointing that we received from from Samuel, plus his faithfulness, not being afraid of the lion and the lamb. So when he faced Goliath, there was no fear. He had to be anointed before he faced Goliath. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. But no Samuel will come to your house because Jesus already sent the Holy Ghost to you. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, so everyone that is born again, there's an anointing. That same anointing that Samuel poured upon David, he anointed him to be the king. But the Bible said there is an anointing in you and that anointing teaches you all things. Amen. Amen. That's wonderful. So there is someone in me that teaches me all things. So we can confidently say we can never be confused in life. Because the Spirit of God dwells in us. And you know, I said this first so that we can be careful in the tenses that we use in New Testament. So when you say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, no, the Spirit of the Lord is in you. Are you following me? See, the difference is that if you don't watch how you describe things, they will affect your prayer and affect your faith. Let the power of the Lord come down. Let the power of the Lord from heaven come down. That's not true. The power of God will not come down from heaven again. It has come down once and for all in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. When the Holy Ghost came down in Acts chapter 2, the power of God has come down. The Bible says you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And now it came upon, Jesus made that promise to the disciples. So it came upon them to enter into them and that power now resides in you. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people have received power here? Glory to God. What you don't do with it is what I said to them in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible says, stir up the gift of God that is in you. You need to stir the power. It is there. But if it's not stirred, it will not do much. So how do we stir? That's not for the boy. You need to stir. When you spin the wheel, when you pray, when you do something, you stir. But I just want to show something this morning. It's because of a peculiar thing that we are going to start doing very soon in this church. And it's likely to be probably last Sunday of this month. The Lord spoke to me and he said that last Sunday of every month, begin to give relief materials to people. And I want to show you, so it will be that, maybe from 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock, I would like welfare people. When I say something, the leaders help me to put flesh on. So I'm just, my own is to say. They will know what to do. So welfare help me and outreach people. Outreach will help us locate the poorest of people in this vicinity. And every Sunday. Now, it doesn't matter whether they are Muslims or Christians. We are not interested in that. Many of them, the people that they can't even join, many of them will not understand what I'm saying as I'm talking to. So, we can. Those of them that get converted later, we might need to send them to some other churches around where they can be properly ministered to. You know, some of them will need somebody that preaches in Yoruba or in their local language that will minister. And it's okay. It's one kingdom of God. But outreach will need to help me locate in Ikeja where people that are extremely poor, where they stay. I need to get words to them that on Sunday, so service ends 11:30, by 12 o'clock. So welfare people, we have to stay around. At least, let's look at 50 to 100. Maybe every Sunday we give them food material. We just give them food stuff from yam to bags of rice and the rest. That means every last Saturday of the month, welfare people, you go to market. Are you hearing me? I'm giving the word. If I don't remember, you just... So, I'm told you what the Lord says. So it has left me. So, are you following me? So we start the last Sunday in October. I was praying and he just told me that start doing that. We've been doing this summer. We say organize and make it more structured. So that last Sunday of every month. Now, if you have full stop at home and you want to give, fine. Now, the next thing I want us to correct also is that if you're a partner, indicate what you are partnering with the church with. Or for. Are you a partner with the decoration or the rest? When you give partnership, indicate. Now, if you want your partnership to be part of this, just indicate. That's what. Just say, whatever I give, I want it to go into this welfare to the poor people. Whatever I give, I want it to be to the maintenance of the all. It is better you specify what to give. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. So it's going to be awesome, right? So that's just the instruction. So let's read. So one of the secret things is I want to share with you. I want to discuss with you briefly how you can do something. This I'm about to share has something to do with how quickly your prayers are answered. And when I found it, I shared with them 2 ways this ago, just a part of it. It's amazing that something, when your prayer ascends, even though I don't know whether that's the right time to use that prayer ascending, but let's use that word for lack of words. When your prayer ascends to heaven, it ascends faster when something is coupled with it. And I'm going to show you, we run through Old Testament to New. When I started last week, Job found something that made him a big shot. He somehow stumbled or had an encounter with one of the secrets of God. When the Bible said the secret thing belongs to God, the secret thing they belong to God, but the ones that are revealed, they belong to us. Somehow, Job dabbled into one of those secret things of God and he became the greatest man in the East. Now, Job is just before the book of Psalm by arrangement in the Bible, but Job actually pre-existed Abraham, according to Bible scholars. So they put his story in the middle of the Bible, but his story started before the beginning of Genesis. So let's read, beginning of Abraham, but not before Adam. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So let's read what he said. We read it last week. Moreover, Job continued his parable. Now he started complaining. When his calamity came, then he said something. All that I were as in the months past, as in the days when God preserved me. He was thinking about the days, the golden years of his life. A Christian is not supposed to have a better yesterday. Now look at me, everybody. There are 2 reasons why you can be in the wilderness of life. Number one, the Holy Ghost sent Jesus to wilderness after the Holy Ghost came upon him. A Christian can be led. That means a period of dryness. a period when it appears as if nothing much is happening, that you are not really making it. Now, the Spirit of God can keep you in a state to train you. But the second reason people go into wilderness is disobedience, lack of faith, or wrong decision. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God took them around, because they were 40 years. That wasn't the plan. Now, this second category of people, they make up for about 90% of Christians who are in the wilderness. Wrong decisions, lack of faith, lack of understanding of spiritual things. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. The first one, the Spirit will lead you when your training is over. Like Yonggi Cho, had to believe God for a long time for a chair and a table. But God was developing his faith. It took about 2 years for a chair and table to have. Now, the same guy is pastor of the largest church in the world now. Now, he doesn't need to believe God for more than 1 hour and before something will happen. Everyone that you see operating at the highest frequency, your face will, it will look like you are standing on the word of God, but it looks like nothing is happening. If you cannot pass through that period, you cannot undo the anointing. See, I hear. And this is when people give up. What? I don't know what's happening. That's what the Bible said, that just be happy, be full of joy at all times. External factors will actually trick you. And you are going to trip up. You'll make a mistake if you look at the external things. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So, he said, when the candle shine upon my head, when by its light, everybody say it's light, I walk through darkness. The word is dark normally. So when Solomon was writing in Proverbs chapter 1, he said that this is the purpose of this wisdom. He said that you might understand the words of the wise and their riddles. Life to an average person is like a riddle. Only the ones, the enlightened ones, enjoy life and the rest follow. So Solomon started saying that if you understand my parables, you will have the wisdom of the just and by it you start walking in light. So Job was one of the people that had access to that light. So when he was having problems, I remember when the light of God, there was a time his candle was shining upon my tabernacle. And look at the effect of it. Verse 4. Said this of my, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, he said, I used to know the secrets. When everybody knows it, it's no more a secret. He said, but I used to know. Then he said, go on. My children were around me. That means he married very early. And he had a problem having children. He said, when I wash my steps in butter, with butter, the rock poured out rivers of oil. When I saw a rock, instead of it to be hard, oil was coming from my own rock. So everything was just working. He said, when I went to the gate, I prepared my seat in the street. Go on. The young men saw me and they hid themselves. The age rose and they stood up. So when you talk about great men, when they saw me, they would stand up to greet me. So mighty was this guy, because the secret of God was with him. He said, the princes refrained, even kings of town, they respected me. Now I'm talking about governors and the rest. He said, my name was, said the nobles, verse 11. Then he said, the ear that heard me blessed me. When the eyes saw me, gave witness to me. Oh God, in a board meeting or in our office, when I said something, everybody agreed what I said. That was what Job was saying. Say, anyone who listens to anything come from my mouth, they would just say, wow, that's wonderful. You know, many times, whether people like you or not, we affect your contribution when you are saying something. You can actually give the best suggestion, but it can be rejected because it is you. Is that right? You see, the reason why some wives will reject something is because it's coming from their husband. They have fought and fought well. That has reached a point that if it's the man, talk, the same thing some men, the idea cannot be right with them. And that's terrible when you get to that point in your marriage. Your wife might have said some things wrongly. If you are in the habit of rejecting all she says, one day she says something right, and you reject it and get into trouble. And you know, many men, they also have ego. When you get into trouble, your ego will not even let you look back. Then suffer and suffer well. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Okay, I'll remind me of the fact that I said I'm going to talk about man looks at outward appearance. Remind me when it's 5 minutes to end of my time. Hallelujah. Then he gave the reason. He said, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help. I want to call the attention of the church today to this hidden blessing, even though it's supposed to be known to Christians, but many don't know. The power that is in you reaching out to people, especially those who have nobody to help them. It's an eternal covenant. Now, it goes on. Look at the next verse. The blessing of him that was ready to pay came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Go back to verse 12. Go back to verse 12. He said, because, if you read from the beginning, he was explaining how big he was. And he gave the reason for his size. He said, this is what I do that made me big. When the nobles are standing up to greet me, when the rocks are pouring oil to me, he said, because I deliver the poor. What is it with God and the poor? Isaiah 58. Are you following me? If you want to reign in life, I will also show you from Psalm 72 in a while. But Isaiah 58. He said, lift up your voice, don't spare. Show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. He said, yet they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways, but they are not knowing it. You would think that God would talk about adultery and the rest here, yeah? For the reason why people pray and their voice not be heard. He said, they are crying, they are looking for me, but they are not finding me. Then he began to say, they forsook my ordinances. He said, why? They are saying, why are we fasting, Lord, and you are not hearing? When a Christian begins to fast and pray, and it's as if you are not making headway, this is what you need to check and you need to add to what you are doing. 99% of the times, this is the reason. He said, these people saying that, said, Lord, why are we fasting and you are not noticing that we are fasting? Why are you doing? Why are we doing this? Then he started explaining. He said, this is the fast that I have chosen. It's not saying we should not fast, but just saying that, say, this is a weightier matter. That you remove burdens. You let the oppressed go free. Next verse. Is to deal thy bread with the hungry, that you bring the poor that are cast out to the house. When you see the naked, that thou coverest him, thou you should not hide yourself from your flesh. Next verse. Then, let's read this together. He said, if you do this, what will happen? You know, this is one major thing that people don't know. And Jesus inserted it at the center of the prayer he taught you. Forgive our trespasses. How? If you depend on God to do something in your life, God will treat you exactly how you treat those who depend on you. And I've warned several in this, all of you that I've listened, you know I've said this many times. How do you treat your housemaid? How do you treat your driver? When you treat them as rubbish, you can as well don't make any prayer requests. He said, forgive our trespasses, and he quickly added, as we forgive. Those who are quick to forgive will always be quick to receive forgiveness. Oh, I've seen too many Christians, their workers don't have any good thing to say about them. You are making your own life difficult, not their life. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Before somebody can get a cobble from, they get it with insult. Before send insult, then send the money after. That's how you give to people. And so the Bible is saying, let's go on. In fact, Jesus said, if you don't forgive men, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive. It's very easy. Your Heavenly Father will not look at the size of your offense. He will ask a question. Do you easily forgive? Or you talk and talk and talk about it and talk about it. After the whole world has begged you, then you forgive. You love it when people come and adore you before you forgive. Say, I don't say I'm still angry. 2 months out, I am still very angry. Then when neighbors, uncles, nephews, nieces, and all of them, in-laws have begged you, then your heart will become a little soft. Hallelujah. Are you with me? He said, your light, chap, this is serious. Next verse. Can we do it together also? Shout amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 10. Are you following me? Is somebody following me today?
Yes, sir.
These people with time are making me to rush. Oh, Lord, forgive them. Forgive. Acts chapter 10. Are you there? So I will do the key. If you ask me to continue, I will I will forget. I will break the roof. Shout, preach, Pastor.
Preach, Pastor!
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, I will try and still keep to time. The Bible says, Hallelujah. If I was a politician, I would be a good one. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Verse 2. A devout man, one that feared God, which gave alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now look at verse 3. He saw in a vision by the night hour, that's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the angel of the Lord coming to meet him, saying unto Cornelius, look at the next verse. When he looked, said, what is it, Lord? He said, thy, let's read it together. Thy what? Why did the angel mention the two? I want to say to everybody here, begin to couple alms with your prayer. I cannot say to do you pray every day, give out to people every day also. No matter the level you are, even if it's 100 that you can give people, that 100 that changes someone's life. The angel told Cornelius, he didn't say your prayers. He said your prayers and your alms, they have come up. That means God looks at these things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Psalm 72. And lastly, I'll just show you something from Daniel chapter 4. Psalm 72. Give the king thy judgment, O God, thy righteousness to thee. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgments. Go on. The mountain shall bring peace and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of thy people. He shall save the children of the needy. He shall break in pieces the oppressor. Then the Bible goes on to say later, he shall have dominion from sea to sea, from rivers to the ends of the earth. For he shall hear when the poor is crying. This is strong. When Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, I am speaking prophetically to the house today, this morning, no matter the level you are, I'm showing you something that I don't need to come and say as a prophet, shake and say this, but I'm telling you, no matter the level you are, this is how to rise. When Daniel gave a message of doom to Nebuchadnezzar, that, O king, thou shalt soon become an animal. That was the summary of the prophecy. When Nebuchadnezzar saw something, and Daniel for 2 hours stood before the guy, and he said, king, he said, this vision, he said, let this dream be for somebody else. In other words, Your Excellency, the interpretation is bad. I don't want to tell you, I'm praying it shouldn't be you. Unfortunately, it is you. He said, you shall be driven from among men. You grow feathers, you become an animal. You will study zoology, not by reading, but by experience. That's what I told him. Amen. And Daniel said, when Daniel said, give me Daniel chapter 4, when he told him that, he looked at the king and he said that this is heaven's verdict over your life. But you know what? We can still do something about this matter. So he said, let me advise you. Look at the advice he gave. Give us Daniel. Daniel. Are you angry with Daniel? Amen. Go down. I can't remember. Just go down verse. He said, the tree that you saw, that was you. Go. Next verse, 21. Whose leaves upon the earth. And next verse. Whereas he said, you saw everything. He was talking about the dream. Verse 27. I want to see where he told the king that you are the one we are talking about. 27, please. No. Don't skip. Go back. 27, please. He said, wherefore, O king? No, let's read 26 first. So he told the king that he said, all those things you said, he said the word. And whereas you commanded to leave a storm, thy kingdom shall be shut today. After that, thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. So he was telling the king that, if you read from the beginning, he said, this prophecy is sure. It is certain that you have offended heavens. You will leave your throne. You become an animal. He said, even though your kingdom will be restored back to you later. Then in verse 27, when he finished giving all the prophecies, then he said that, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. He said, break forth thy sins by righteousness and thy iniquities by what? Can you imagine? Daniel was telling Nebuchadnezzar that heaven is sure to dethrone you. And it will be done in a very humiliating way. He said, however, I have given you the prophecy. But as a man who has worked with God, I can counsel you. You can still do something about this. He said, this iniquity hanging over your head, break the power by reaching out to the poor. But Nebuchadnezzar didn't listen. That tells me something. Even when there's a negative verdict over someone's head, when it begins to get involved, you see, some of the other religion have tried to capture this. They try to tell people to do what they call Sarah.
But you see, the real understanding is in the Word of God. Are you with me? Now, if you want to walk in it constantly, don't do it because there is an issue. Do it constantly. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. In John chapter 13, I think verse 10, when Jesus told Judas that which thou doest, go and do quickly, the Bible said that other disciples thought about the Father, was asking Judas to go and buy something or to give to the poor. That means under the ministry of Jesus Christ, giving to the poor was a regular thing. Hallelujah. The mistake you must not make, which is the other side of it. You see people castigating churches on social media and saying things that, number one, you are not supposed to make noise when you help the poor. That is what the press wants us to do, and that is what we will not do. Hear me and hear very well. So, all this, so the sincere truth is that you don't rise in the kingdom of God if you don't do this. And you are not supposed to make noise about what you are doing. But that's the temptation. The press are demanding from churches now to start announcing. So when you go off like that, I'm sorry to say, I saw a pastor on Facebook, he was preaching, and he said, anybody hungry here? And they gave the person food, and he went viral. He said, if you don't have transport here, and Facebook started saying that, you see, this is a true pastor. The Bible says that, woe unto you when all men call you good, and they are applauding you. He was disobeying Jesus, but men are cheering him up. Jesus said, your left hand should not know what your right hand is doing. He is coming on Facebook to give money to the poor and let everybody see, so that they can uphold lives of Edeku and praise lives of him. I feel sorry for people like that. If men elevate you, you are coming down. Are you getting what I'm saying? When I saw it, it gripped my spirit in my face. But I just said, this is wrong. This is wrong. How many times do I give people money after service? Sometimes I give as many as 60,000, 70,000 after service. So we now go on Facebook. So they will now say that pastor is different from other pastors. I don't want such. Vain is the praise of men. It leads to destruction. See, we Christians must accept that we are believers. We are not politicians. We don't move by popular opinion. That's the truth. I'm not saying churches might not be doing one or two things that they need to correct, but the sincere truth is that by the time you are trying to be right with the people, your way, Paul said, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. That's the truth. If you seek to please men, you cannot be a servant of God. That's the truth. Galatians chapter 2. Say, if I please men, I can't be a servant of God. You cannot be. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Verse 10. John 30. Okay, is that 27? No. Okay, yeah. Next verse. 27, 28. No man at the table knew. Jesus said, that which you are doing, go do. Nobody knew what Jesus was talking about. But look at the next verse. Some of them thought because Judas had the bag. So Jesus had a bag of money. That was what started tempting Judas. Buy those things that we need against the feast, or that you should go and give something to the poor. Now, for them to have assumed that Jesus was asking Judas to give money to the poor, it must mean that Jesus must have been doing that regularly. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So that was what happened. And in Galatians chapter 2, I think verse 10, Apostle Paul, I just went through different people just to show you. Apostle Paul, Galatians 2:10, he said something like, they told us, he said, let's start from 9. He was talking about when they released him. He said, those who are perceived, when they saw the grace of God given to me, they gave me Barnabas, the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Eden and to the and they unto the circumcision. He said, they told us, okay, they released me and Barnabas to our ministry. He said, go to the Eden, we will stay with the circumcision. Then the next verse, he said, the only instruction they gave, only that we should remember the poor. He said, the same thing which I was forward. He said, so those who released me and commissioned me said that, Paul, you and Barnabas, go to the Gentile, preach the word. As you preach, remember the poor. That was the only instruction. And he said that, I was already eager. I was ready to do that before. Now, I've shown you from Jesus. I've shown you from Paul. What else? Now, this is from Isaiah, from Psalm, that this is a standard that God expects. See, Christianity cannot be practiced if you think too much about yourself. I have many times prayed for Lagos. I have prayed and prayed and prayed for Lagos. You know, Pastor, yesterday was Pastor Femfa Davis' birthday. And as I sat down with the Pastor Gabriel came, Pastor Gabriel is a friend of mine. He was telling me he narrowly escaped gunshots in Jos with all this crisis going on. He said every day he went there to supervise what going on. two churches were burned down this morning, Lagos people will sit down and be debating, siding with this, siding with that, saying things. I told the workers yesterday, first of all, my priority is the kingdom of God. Because when it happens to us in Lagos, you will not be speaking grammar and be debating things. Who is right? Whose policy is better? This one, that one. When you hear a Christian being killed, pray. One of the ways it doesn't come to you is for you to pray for those who are going through and identify with them. When you have done that, it's likely it will happen to you. But if you go about your normal that it doesn't concern you, I have no respect for any government that watches people being killed. And I'm not taking side with any party, whether intentional or not, because it happened when PDP was there also. So I've stopped discussing. I don't belong to any side, but I stand for what is right. I don't believe in any politician. I believe in those of you that are here. I know you to be Christian. When you go, I trust you. Those are, I don't trust any policy. I'm not for any party. I'm not for anybody. I am for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? This is very important. Okay. No, I didn't say this. Give me a second question. Okay. So I want to stop here. Don't worry. We will continue next week. I want to stop here. What I say, man looks at outward appearance. That's Samuel 16. You know, we just read when Samuel went to anoint David and he poured the oil. I said it always. I said first, I just feel like it's like also a prophetic word. I'm talking to women. I'm talking to men. Samuel poured the oil on David. But he wanted to pour it on Eliab, the firstborn. And God said to Samuel that, no, it's not the one. He said, for God does not see as man sees. He said, man looks at outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. The heart aspect, I spoke a little about the first. I will look at it again, how God searches people's hearts. But the first part is also important. People look at the negative part of it, that God, man looks at outward appearance. But there's something to learn also. God is also teaching you how to deal with men. That when it comes to a man looks at outward appearance. Now, if you're a woman there, you are not marrying God, you are marrying a man. Man looks at outward appearance. If there's a woman beside you, look at the woman, say, man looks, however spiritual a man is, man looks at outward appearance. Amen. Hallelujah. Sincerely, because I always want to correct whatever. I am not saying the killing. I'm not saying the president is involved, is not involved. I don't say, when I'm my friend, but I don't say some things presumptuously. So I'm neither saying is one, neither am I saying, I can't. All I'm saying is just that something should be done about it. And we are praying, really. Because it is very easy to attack people that are in power. Of course, it's their responsibility to do that, and that was what they promised. But I won't go as far as saying that this man is the one giving them this. Or not. I don't know. But what I know is that let this thing stop. Let it be stopped, and let the security people do their job. Let policemen be posted to where they ought to be, and let us have, that's my prayer. Because as someone God, you have to be very careful. I don't want to say something that will make somebody develop a wrong act towards somebody in power. Neither should I say something that will make somebody support people unjustly. I'm just saying that be neutral, hold your political views and everything, but the right thing should be done. Hope that is okay. Amen. Because I learned that political stuff is very, very important. You know, a man of God told Pastor God, 2,000 people left church because he supported Donald Trump. It's a black community. They got angry. They were not thinking about what the man was saying. They were thinking about the immigration. They will send us home. So when the pastor said that I support Trump, they left the church. Political views can be as strong as religion in people's hearts. And if you are a wise leader, whether you are leading an office or leading people, even if you have a messenger, they can have a different view. So just let it go. All right? You can't even be sure that you are right anyway. Because ultimately, these people play everybody. I hope you know. But I vow, nobody will play me. They play everybody. I love the Pastor Michael, they prayed on Wednesday. He said, those who are in APC working for PDP, and those who are in PDP working for APC, Lord, destroy. That was it. I saw his face. You know, he's very close to all of them. He has learned to know. Now that's why he's speaking also that sincerely they will plague you. When you are around, as a pastor, that you are the only pastor speaking the truth. And some pastors love hearing that. So they start speaking the truth more. When you are playing, you are working for somebody. One of the ways you know what for anybody is that keep your mouth shut. Oh, let them fix this. Don't say this one will fix it better when it comes in. Because you don't know what the man coming in will do. Yes. That's why people are looking at me. You love politics. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So man looks at outward appearance. I want to stop on it. Man looks at outward appearance. This is very important. I don't know, it stood in my spirit. All you sisters that are not married, it's God that looks at the heart. And it is not God that will date you. Man looks at outward appearance. Now, married people. Christian, see, I talk about marriage because when your marriage is not okay, it will affect a lot of things. Christian women, there are vicious temptations out there. Don't lower the standard. Your husband is still a man. Even if he's a spiritual warrior, he's a man. A man looks at outward appearance. When he goes out and he's coming from office, don't sit down there with a direct wrapper around you. You have gone to kitchen, pepper smelling on you, and now you are watching African magic Yoruba. And he comes in. He's seen all the beautiful ladies in town. And you are just there because you think you are married. Ah. And when he was dating you, the first time he came to your house, you went inside an oven to bake yourself. When he said he was coming to your house, even when you came out, your younger ones could not recognize you again. But now you are at home. You know, don't let him love you only with the love of God. Because the way you are, the way you are dressed, is the love of God. Agape. Philios don't go a long time ago. But it's agape that is making. So you want to just give you a side dog by agape. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you the truth. Oh, too many men. Somebody sent me a message today. They go to another church. And she told me something about her husband. I said, is it true? I'm planning to see the two before the end of the week. The temptation out there, they are real. They are real. They are real. They are real. And I'm telling you, they are real. And nobody's, there's no exemption anywhere. I have asked somebody before that if you come to this church again, you won't find it funny. Because of what she told me one time. So, nobody sends anybody. So I'm telling all of you. Because I get to hear things. And I say things myself. Even some people that I know, I go to their house, some women, and you are so, you don't care anymore. Because you have two children. Hallelujah. Even the way you carry plates. You just sit down, it's in the room there. You are eating from the room, watching TV, and you are just there. Your husband comes and say, you are welcome. And he goes in. And you are, no, please. Begin to correct this. What it takes to win a thing must be what it takes to sustain it also. You need to apply effort in making your marriage stand. Part of it is that if your husband calls, he's on his way home, go and shower. Look for Fifth Avenue or Seventh Avenue. Look beautiful. Let him enter the house, and not only with the love of God, both with the love of God and the love of man. Let him all give. It's important. Let your husband's heart burn for you at all times. Of course, men should be told the same thing. So dress very well and look good at all times. Don't just be smelling and be sweating and then you want to hug your wife and she's just wondering that, okay, if I say no now, you start saying things. But honest, the way some people are laughing, their hearts are not pure. Are you with me? So am I helping somebody? I have helped some men to tell their wives today what they cannot say direct. Because there are some women, when you tell them, they will get angry. So are you comparing me with? They start. So I have helped your husband to tell you. You know what? Take it that your husband hired me. So, I have told you now
that is very important. Now, I am not a partial person. I focus more on the women because the Bible didn't talk about. So let you women also, maybe when a woman preaches, tell us what the Bible says about what a woman looks at. Man looks at outward appearance, but the Bible didn't tell us what a woman looks at. So maybe when you tell us your own, we will know. But for today, I'm a man, and I'm reading what the Bible says. That man looks at. So honestly, maybe next week I'll give 5 minutes to a lady to tell us, what do you people look at? Or is there a woman that wants to talk? What to look at? Should I take it? My wife said she wants to say something, so let's hear that. So tell us what women look at.
Hallelujah. We love intelligent men.
Wow.
We love men who don't smell of sweat. And really, we can do without body odor.
Amen.
And we like confident men too. No poor self-esteem is a problem. So we look at that.
For men, just one thing.
Yes.
For women, look at how many things.
Yes. Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. Hallelujah. See, everything about women is wonderful. For us, right, Daddy, I think we have to add to our list also. So apart from outward appearance, don't worry, by next Sunday, we'd have added four more things. So there'll be 5-5. Blessed be God. Let's rise. Jesus, we give you praise. We worship you. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the teaching of Pastor Shola Oshumakinde. We believe you have been blessed. Worship with us at David's Court, number 25 Mojidi Street, off Towing Street, Ikeja, Lagos. On Sundays, our first service starts by 8 a.m. and our second service by 10 a.m., while our midweek service starts by 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Go and do great things. God bless you.